Listening to The Truth.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board, join in the dialogue and discussion that we have right here on Let's Face the Issues each and every day. We're going to have a brief monologue. After our monologue, we'll invite you to call in. And that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. We're going to be talking about some issues today, a multiplicity of them, boiling down to a serious question. Will this election be stolen? We're witnessing today the Socialist, Marxist, Communist, Democratic Party having a major, major devolution, not evolution, a devolution. It is devolving into a full-fledged socialist communist party. The Communist Party of America, the Democratic Socialist Party, the group that we see now with several candidates, and then the Islamic Jihadist candidates across America. I am concerned, I don't mind telling you, I'm concerned with the direction that America is going in, and I think it deserves serious prayer, consideration, and going before the throne of God, asking God to divinely intervene in this election. If we, I say we, conservatives, Christians, patriots, if we lose this election, and right now some of the Democrats are chomping at the bits of saying that we will, and with some of the Islamic jihadists that are running, there's a major, major problem with what could take place if we do not do something about it. And I believe we need to understand there's a major need. One writer, and I'll talk about it later in the broadcast, one writer said that we are sleepwalking into Islam. He goes on to say that the problem in America is the fact that the politicians, even the conservatives, and Christian churches view Islam simply as another religion and are not fearful of it. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the furthest thing from the truth. We should recognize that Islam is an ideological bent. It is not a religion. It is an ideological bent. But ladies and gentlemen, we're going to get into the details of each of these areas. Primarily, it focuses on, with all of these other things coming together, coming into the picture, bringing about the focus, then is it possible that it would undermine, tear down, and destroy our constitutional republic in America? Is it possible that this election can be stolen? Now, I know even in our local election leadership, I asked the question in the 2020 election, was the election stolen? Oh, no, we have absolute safeguards in our election. We have safety and security measures. There is an impossibility. That's what was said in most of our conservative states across America. And yet we find there's a major, major, major question today. Were we deceived? Is it possible that we are sleepwalking into a major, major, major change in our nation? Ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, let me remind you, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. I call it the truth book. John 8:31-32, Jesus speaking to his disciples said this, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth." Further in John 17:17, there's a declaratory statement in the Bible made about the Word of God. Thy Word is truth. Psalms 117, verse 2 says, the truth of the Lord endures forever. That's a comforting statement for me. That's a comforting fact. We don't have to worry about modifying, modulating, changing, renewing, reviewing, coming up with a new translation of the Scripture. What we have today is the Word of God. And as we look at the Scripture from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21, we see the progressive revelation of God to man. We see what God has done, is doing, and shall do. We see eschatologically and prophetically where we're going in our world. May I just tuck in a little parenthetical Youngblood footnote at that point? As we look at the Scripture, we don't have to worry about what's happening in Iran. We don't have to wonder the role that China plays. We don't have to wonder if Russia will be involved in the final days. We don't have to wonder about Turkey and about Iran and the other nations as to where they fit in. The Bible is very, very clear, very explicit, very direct, and it tells us every child of God, every Christian, one of the major problems that I see today is most have one or more Bibles in the home, but very few of them are being truly read. It is the truth book, and as we look at the truth book, we need to understand truth is so valuable, and should be victorious in every heart and life today. I go back to the statement made by George Orwell, the secularist of yesteryear. Orwell said the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those that speak it. And that's where we are today. It was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint made a statement. Headline says, DeMint warns America's decline is linked to the death of truth. This is in part what DeMint said. Truth is the core principle of the Judeo-Christian values, which are the foundation of Western civilization. Judeo-Christian values are derived from the Bible, and the Christian church is the only custodian of the Bible. If you want to know the reason for the death of truth in America, look no further than the decline of Bible-based Christianity. Ladies and gentlemen, that ought not to be the case. The bastion of truth ought to be in the church. The first, foremost, and final stand on truth ought to be from the church. But I find you can be in a group and you can talk about conservative, biblical, central biblicist, theological, doctrinal truth, and you'll have those who want to challenge it. I've had those that say, well, we're living in the days of the tribulation now. We're living in the book of Revelation now. We've already seen the horsemen, the four horsemen have already entered into the world that you find in the Revelation text. Ladies and gentlemen, may I say to you, generally as a person says that, they do not know the Scripture, the chronology of the Scripture. Do not look at Scripture as having a streamline through the Scripture of past, present, future. We're not in the future yet. God's given us the signs for all of the future. We need to be aware of that. In fact, perhaps you say, well, where do I find eschatological prophetic texts? Primarily, you find in Matthew 24 and 25, Luke 21, Mark chapter 13. You find those, the eschatological prophetic chapters in the Bible. And it gives us, that's not the only ones, by the way, but it gives us the major signs that we need to be aware of. But today, I'm not surprised, but I'm saddened to find that a headline says most younger Americans say there's no such thing as absolute truth. In fact, generally speaking, the millennial age group, and by the way, that's primarily the age group we're watching today as the devolution of the Democratic Party takes place. That's the age group that we're witnessing today that's wrestling the Democratic Party out of the Democratic Party hands and into the socialist, Marxist, communist, jihadist position today. It's that age group. It was that age group that stood in the hallways and on the sidewalks and in the front doors of Yale, Harvard, Princeton, Brown, Columbia universities, saying, from the river to the sea, Palestine must be free. Standing for the enemy rather than standing for Israel. We need to recognize there's a need to get back to the centrality of truth. It was the 15th century theologian Jan Hus that made a powerful statement. John Hus says, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, live the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, and defend the truth even to death. That's my challenge each and every day on this broadcast, is we need to look for the truth, live it, learn it, and stand for truth. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment leadership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has the full line of Honda generators and a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 Beltway and Old St. Augustine Road. On the campus of Tools for Time, there's an identifier, a benchmark. There's a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole flows Old Glory, the U.S. flag, 24/7. Find that flag in the flagpole, the top, and at the base of that flagpole, you find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, just a moment, we'll open our telephone lines, lest I forget it. Let me remind you that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. The basic principle, the basic issue, the basic thought today is, will this election be stolen? Can it be stolen? Listen very carefully. I find it fascinating. I find it interesting. You remember the MyPillow guy, Mike Lindell? Mike Lindell had a suit against him for $1 billion from the voting machine company and the software company that gave us the 2020 election. They did so. They filed suit for several hundred million dollars against Fox News because they interviewed and talked with President Trump and all of the others that were challenging the election, questioned the election. And listen, just a little parenthetical footnote, the same voting machines, the same voting software elected Maduro in Venezuela. And yet all of the government in the United States of America said that was an illegal election. He supposedly won the election by 91% of the voters. And it was the same equipment, the same voting machines. And yet, no, don't think that happened in America. But ladies and gentlemen, listen, it's a fascinating thing to me. The company that owns the machines, and unless something intervenes, I think most of our states will still use those same machines and same software that's been used, that's been proven to be a difficult situation and a questionable, security matter for that. We understand now, and research and development and what has come to the forefront, that China was involved in the 2020 election. China, according to one whistleblower, China printed 1.5 million U.S. 2020 election mail-in ballots, shipped them to Canada. Canada shipped them to Mexico. Mexico shipped them to the recipients in America. I don't have the privy of knowing who it was shipped to. That's in the process now of coming to the forefront from the whistleblower that says that that is a fact that he is familiar with. Don't know his position. But ladies and gentlemen, we're finding now more and more facts and truth coming out in relationship to the 2020 election. And the Lindell case of a $1 billion suit against him, all of a sudden, I reckon it's been about 6 weeks ago now, they summarily dropped the suit. In the meantime, Fox News had already paid a $786 million fee to settle the suit that the voting machine company had filed against Fox. Now, that being the case, my question is, why drop the suit if you're right against Mike Lindell? Why is it that President Trump was prosecuted, persecuted, fined, was taken through court after court after court with lawfare because he asked for the election to be verified? State of Georgia, that was the claim that he was trying to persuade people to change the votes, to some way fudge on the votes and steal the election for Trump. That was not the case. And in the ensuing years, we've discovered thousands upon thousands upon thousands of illegal votes just in the state of Georgia. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at a headline that says 250,000 non-citizens found on the voter rolls in four states, and the one that's the one responsible for that refuses to share any data from those election records. The article reads in part, Department of Homeland Security and Secretary Mark Wayne Mullen told the media on Friday his agency has identified 250,000 non-citizens on the voter rolls in California, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Nevada using publicly available data. About two dozen proactive states have also identified 28,000 non-citizens on voter rolls, as well as 400,000, listen to this, 400,000 registrations voting from deceased individuals. Mullen said, as he urged states to leverage DHS Save the program to vet voter registration. If states refuse to remove ineligible voters, Mullen noted that state officials could face fines, penalties, prison time, etc. Quote, we absolutely can build confidence in the American people, but the states have to do their part, Michael Wayne Mullen said, head of the DHS. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we could take the balance of the day doing the deep dive and all the evidence and the documentation that we have that validates what Trump had said and others, a whole host of them. In fact, in the state of Georgia, 18 of the acolytes of Trump, those in his orbit, were sued, some of them in order to get the suit off their back and keep from spending millions of dollars or going bankrupt, just said, okay, I'm guilty, I paid the fine, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And we're finding today, in fact, my opinion, and I don't know how you go back and put spilt milk back in the bottle, but my opinion, there needs to be some rectification of that. Things made right in relationship to lawfare, the wrongdoing at the hands of the government under the Biden administration. I believe we have Kenneth on the line. Kenneth, go with your question or comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood. I think China is going to try it again. And these states that have illegal voters, they're going to do it again. I believe that. And I believe also that these illegal aliens, they cannot vote. You are not American citizens. And especially for my heart goes out to, I think it's called Spain, where all these illegals are coming in.
Yeah, let me jump in there. I'm glad you mentioned that, Kenneth. Spain just had 60,000 men. In fact, I was amazed. The media with the cameras on the group, 99.99% of them were male, working-age males, and yet the camera people and the reporting said whole families are coming over. It's not whole families. In fact, they're coming over forced into the system in Spain, knowing that if they're accepted, embraced, or allowed to stay in, they can then by chain migration bring their whole families to Spain. And that little small portion, the little jutting out into the water from Morocco, it's just a short distance of water between Morocco and that port of Spain. 60,000. Now, they're claiming some are going back. They said that some, I think they said 45 died by drowning just trying to get there. But what had taken place, Kenneth, and I'm sure that you're probably aware of that, what had taken place is the Supreme Court in Spain said that they could close the borders on every level except on the waterfront. And the statement by the Supreme Court in Spain, if they come in by water, you cannot turn them back. And so what happens? News gets to the Moroccans that wants to leave Morocco, and all of a sudden, Spain's invaded with the illegal jihadists coming in. And that's a similar fashion that took place with somewhere between 15 and 25 million, and that's how the numbers fluctuate, between 15 to 25 million illegal invaders came into America under the Joe Biden administration, with Kamala Harris supposedly being the border czar. And so you can see there was a lot of effort made to keep America safe. But, Kenneth, one of the things that is disconcerting, and our listeners need to understand, this is the reason, especially as I speak to Christians, conservatives, and patriots, we need to realize the danger that we're at. We need to realize the gravity of this election. We need to realize that it's probably the most consequential election in my lifetime, and I'm still under 100 years old, and need to understand it's very, very consequential. And I've said before, and at the risk of redundancy, I'll say again, Kenneth, if we, conservative Christians, patriots, if we lose this election, America will be a uniparty, not a Democrat and Republican party, a uniparty from now on through the history of the United States of America. I'm concerned for our kids, our grandkids, and great-great-grandkids as to what kind of America they will face if we now do not vote. So my challenge, Kenneth, for you, for all of our listeners, vet the candidates. We're going to talk about that further in the broadcast. Vet the candidates and vote for the candidate that's going to stand to support the foundation of America with our morals, ethics, and values, and not the values of some other language, some other nation, some other people. Kenneth, brother, it deserves our prayer. We need to keep looking up. Our redemption draweth nigh. Thanks so much for your call, and have a blessed day. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. We're witnessing today, I believe, the transformation of our constitutional republic. We already have House members and Senate members that are anti-America, anti-God, anti-Christ, that stand for other nations, other flags, other than the red, white, and blue, Old Glory flag. They stand for other republics and not the Constitutional Republic, the United States of America. How have we allowed the communists, the Islamic jihadists, to come to the point that they are now? My book is Islam Tolerant. I point out, it's a 25 chapter by 330 pages, and I point out in the research, and I spent hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, yea, thousands of hours in the research from the Quran and other Islamic writings in relationship to the preparation for the manuscript to publish, Is Islam Tolerant? Islam is not tolerant. But I state in my book that when Islam in any city, any state, any nation, when they get to the point of 2 to 5%, from 2 to 5%, in any city, state, or nation, they will rise up and take control. That's the history for 1,400 years with Islam. That is the history. They know what they're doing. They're willing to settle incrementally. That's what they've been doing across America. Now they're stating that 2026, this is the year in their planning, in their mind, in their process. This is the year that they feel they can rise up and take control of the political leadership in America. That's their goal. That's their plan. So, ladies and gentlemen, will this election be stolen? I believe the answer, my answer is yes. May not be fully stolen, may not be totally invalidated, but I believe there'll be theft in this election. Have we allowed this to take place? Have we allowed the nation, the city after city, state after state, to have something to do with undermining our election process? At one time, ladies and gentlemen, across America, every city, every state, across the nation, had one goal, one man, one vote, and there's the election. I believe we need to go back to a federal holiday for election, and the election be on one day. Not advanced voting, not preliminary voting, not voting. In fact, I believe it's in California, the votes can start like 4, 5, or 6 weeks before the election, and then have votes to be counted up to 30 days after the election. That's not election day. That's election theft. And unless cities and states introduce new rules, regulations that will follow the general plan for America and our elections, we will lose our election, this election. Ladies and gentlemen, may I say to you, we see the socialist, Marxist, communist, DSA members taking the lead in state after state after state, seriously leaning left and yet receiving the votes. Perhaps you asked the question. Glad you did. What would cause a person, an American citizen, what would cause an American citizen to vote for a socialist, Marxist, communist? What would cause an American citizen to vote for an individual that on the surface and then on his speeches and on what is stated simply are not in coordination with or in harmony with our morals and values and ethics in America. Those that come out of the socialist, Marxist, communist background. Those that come out of the Islamic jihadist background. Here's some of the things that I think is the root cause. And again, it goes back to our millennials, not beating on all millennials. Want us to understand the major, major number. For example, you've heard me say before, those that were 18 to 35 years old in the primary in New York City with Mamdani, 72% were white, graduate level educated, single women that were voting for Mamdani. You must ask the question, what's the cause? Go back and look at the statistical data, and I think you'll find that most of them have the graduate degrees and postgraduate degrees, and they have that, I call it the PhD on a piece of paper that's not worth the paper it's written on. They can't get a job with that paper, so they feel that somehow the constitutional republic that we have today, the capitalistic system that we have today, has not afforded them an opportunity to make a living, to buy a house, to buy a car, to get on a jet plane and go someplace, and as a result of that, the system must be changed in their mind. Ladies and gentlemen, it's those that's looking for the free education, the free medical care, government-owned grocery stores. By the way, I think they've already spent like $30 million in New York City to open the first. They'll open five. That's one government-controlled grocery store in each of the five boroughs in New York City. They're said to be, I believe it's 2028 or 2029 before they'll open the first one. And they've already expended, I believe, some $30 million, if I follow the online news reel correctly on that. And it'd be still another 2 or 3 years to open the store. They're claiming that everything would be 30% less than the other retail stores. The problem they're not admitting, based on all history of socialist, Marxist, communist leadership in that realm, after a few months, you'll begin to see in stores like that where the shelves are mostly bare. Sure, it's 30% less, but you just don't have the product. You don't have the product for the people to buy. And therefore, it's when the lineup starts that in order to get the product, you've got to have special ID, got to have special ration cards, you've got to have a line of people days long just to get a loaf of bread or other items that you wanted to buy, that you think you're getting a deal because it's a socialist, Marxist, communist grocery store. And the government's supposed to fix everything for you. Ladies and gentlemen, standing in line for groceries. And every nation that's tried the socialist, communist system have failed. Millions have died as a result of it. And yet we have those today that say, well, we know how to make it work. We can make socialism in America work. Ladies and gentlemen, these that comes from the Democratic Socialist Party. Let me just remind you what they're wanting to do. Eliminate ICE, eliminate police departments, no border, all immigrants are welcome, increase the Supreme Court to 13 justices, eliminate the House and the Senate, shut down all prisons, take control of all means of production. That term, take control of all means of production, means that the government will jump in and take control of every place, every manufacturing plant, every big box store, etc. The government will be in control of that and not private enterprise. Government taking control of major corporate entities. And they say that they'll have a ruling committee. Listen to this. They plan on having a ruling committee that will make the decision what everybody will get, what everybody can do, and the jobs that a person could have. No House, no Senate, no law, no police, no ICE, but they'll have a ruling committee. That's a dictatorial system that's known as socialism, Marxism, which is communism light, and that's where we're headed. And I've been saying this for years and years and years, not that I'm satisfied with it, seeing it happening, but finally I am seeing the coming to fruition where even the major anchors on news media and the major political leadership today are admitting that this is where we're headed. So my question is, will this election be stolen? Can this election be saved? Here's notice where Keith Ellison said, he calls for all people who were not naturalized citizens in 2024 to vote in 2028, 2026. Ladies and gentlemen, that tells you where we stand. It deserves our prayer. It deserves our attention. Right after the top of the hour news, we're going to invite you to call in. Love to hear from you. That number is 904-831-0917. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.